What a wild trade deadline day it was. Angel, I was thinking about this. I'm watching the Nuggets game. Actually, I was watching the Bucks and the Lakers game late. And the Lakers were playing without LeBron. And they still gave the Bucks just about as much as they could handle. The Bucks pull it off in the end. But I'm watching the Nuggets game. Do you think we should even have games on trade deadline day? Because it's just an awkward day. Even if you don't make any moves, or even if you make small moves like the Denver Nuggets made, then it's still kind of like, okay, we know we have another fairly big piece coming to our roster. It just gets a little strange. I think they should just do away with trade deadline day. Like, it's a weird day to have games.
I agree with that. It's a lot of guys and their teammates and coaches, and you know, relationships are split up or separated, or you're bringing new guys in, stuff like that, and it affects the team. And whether or not you see it on the faces of the players, it affects them. These are guys that they spend the whole summer with, and off-season training camp, and all of this practice time together with these guys. You form relationships and brotherhoods, and when those guys are suddenly gone, it takes a toll.
It's weird. It's just weird. Even if you don't form a brotherhood, as you say, it's still just weird. It's weird for the coaches. Michael Malone talked about it at the end of the game last night. He's like, dude, I was on the phone with Calvin Booth pretty much off and on throughout the day. So that's where Malone's focus was, and rightfully so. Your head coach should be very much in the process of what you're going to do because they're the guys working with him. So after I heard that post-game comment, I'm like, dude, these coaches are all over the place. Players are all over the place. Poor Patrick Beverley. Did you see his tweet? He put up the Timberwolves tweet of him and D'Angelo Russell when they were both with Minnesota. And he put back together again. And then, like, they did a SpongeBob SquarePants thing. One day later, and Beverly's got, like, these guys don't know what the future is. I'm watching the game seriously thinking, like, Christian Brown, I'm thinking, he's playing in a game. They're all playing in these games where they don't know what their minutes are going to look like. Are they going to get more? Are they going to get less? I just might as well do away with the trade deadline game. And I get that the next day is still going to be a little bit of the same, but at least the coaches can get back into the mode. I feel like trade deadline game is almost a throwaway game. And I'm not making excuses. The Nuggets, for the most part, got worked by the Magic. And can they play defense? That was a game where Nikola Jokic just said, I don't really believe in blocking out. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. I mean, he still ends up with a near triple-double, but it just didn't look... It looked like everybody's heads were elsewhere. It was an early game. It was 5 o'clock, whatever. I'm not going to take that game too much as a concern, but I don't like the not blocking out. Like, that is... I mean, Aaron Gordon had a game. He likes going back to Orlando in front of his home, his old home. He had fantastic... What do you have, 35? He was all over the place. But I'm just not, like... Why have it if everyone's attention... This is why 82 games, we have that argument of... There's probably 10 to 15 games that are almost throwaway games. Load management. Was it Shaq or Charles Barkley? Maybe both. Once said that whenever they knew they were coming to Denver, they would just foul early so they could go sit on the bench. I think it was Shaq. So, I mean, you know, in an 82-game season, there's 5 to 10 games where it's just like, meh. And I feel like trade deadline game is one of those games.
Yeah, and you talked about with the coach preparation. Last night it didn't look like the Nuggets really had a plan of attack in terms of how they were going to style
bad,
with the, the Magic. You know, their talent is going to carry them so far, but obviously without Jamal out there, the bench unit was kind of just all over the place in terms of the rotations, and that's obviously going to change within the next couple of weeks once Bryant gets here and then whoever else they bring off the market. Seeing some rumors.
Reggie Jackson?
Yes.
Is Russell Westbrook even in the
rumor mill? I think he is
leaning
more towards the Clippers at this point. But I have been seeing rumors that Reggie Jackson's going to want to play for a contender.
Ooh.
The Clippers are starting to get a little full right now. So come on to Denver.
I'd take Reggie Jackson in a heartbeat, man, because with Ish Smith being?
No, absolutely not.
Nuh-uh.
That looked like a guy that had never played basketball
before. You're right about the game plan, though. How many turnovers did they have? My goodness.
Like 75.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like they had practice.
They had 75 turnovers.
Like, all of their passes were bad.
Joker's were awful. I mean, and Joker's that kind of player now where his bad games, he had 29 points. He had 12 rebounds. He had 6 assists, but 7 turnovers.
Sloppy.
It was sloppy. And I don't know if they were just like, let's just go grab this win by being us. But yeah, I'm watching it and I'm frustrated. It was not good. And I'm thinking, going to the Milwaukee Lakers game, the Bucks were 8.5-point favorites in that game because LeBron's out. But it was a close game. I mean, the Bucks were down 11 to start the fourth, to end the third, whatever. And they come back, they win it, they do their thing. But it's just sloppy basketball.
And they give them credit. They came back in the fourth. They made it almost a 5-3-point game at that point. And you thought, okay, here's where the experience comes in. But they just had a really bad first half.
Well, they were like, it was like 11 or 12 to nothing to start the game
12-0.
For the Nuggets. And then the turnovers started happening. You know, Porter hits 4 threes, I think. No, he hit 3 and then had 2 others. Okay. But he 3 of 12. He hit him early, too. He got 9 points in the first, like, 4 minutes of the game, and then he went quiet. A little concerning there. Aaron Gordon, though, that was the guy. Amazing. 37 points by him and 13 boards. And he only had 2 turnovers. But yeah, I think the Reggie Jackson thing, we might want to ramp up those conversations with him. Chris Dempsey's going to join us from Altitude coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Also have Jerry Schimmel at 11:30. Talk about the Bears win. That was really the only positive from last night. The Avs get worked. The Nuggets ultimately get worked. And then the Bears were up by 11, and then it felt like, uh-oh, here we go. And then they held on, got the free throw game going. It's a nice dub.
It was a very nice win. Good to see that momentum carry over from Monday night. Portland State's a very scrappy type of team. They were all over the Bears defensively and just making, you know, quick, easy shots. But the Bears' talent, again, showed up with the big three, sometimes the big four, but Kuntz, Johnson, and Connect showed up again. And another good win.
Yeah. It's good. Dalen Kuntz is playing well. He's playing
it's
well.
Old Dalen.
He's getting back to it. I think he's got that focus on right now. I was just talking to Coach Bruce Dick, you know, right after. I always run into them in the hallway after Clark and the Coach. Love that show. Nobody has a show like that in the state of Colorado, I'm telling you. That preps program, the interviews they get on, it's amazing. And being able to get, of course, Clark's perspective from calling all these games for all these years. And then Coach Bruce Dick is Mr. 700 plus now. One of the greatest coaches in the state. It's pretty cool to hear that program. Anyway, I'm talking to Coach, and I'm like, we're talking about the Bears. And I said, I do feel like the UNC Bears could be anybody in the Big Sky Conference. But I'll be honest, I feel like there's a window of how they have to play to do that. And they've only been in that window a couple of times this year. But if they can get into that mode, the way they played against Weber State on Monday, the way they played against CSU earlier in the season, that team, yeah, they can beat anybody. They can make a run in this thing. But that's a big if right now. Although, you won 2, you're moving up a little bit. Can they still get up into the top 5? Because that first round bye would be very beneficial for the Bears. They play tomorrow night against Sacramento State, which is another big game and a big opportunity. They moved up 1 in the standings. So let's see. Who's in 5th?
Idaho State. They're 2.5 games back.
Eesh. Yeah, that's going to be
but
tough.
They do play Idaho State at the end of the year.
Yeah, and Idaho State lost to Montana last time out. They play Montana State tomorrow. So now you're hoping they can lose a couple and then make that game big so the Bears could climb up eventually. Beating Portland State was nice. And then they play Sacramento State tomorrow, so they could get within a game there. Either way, they're going to have to make a run, whether they get the bye or not. If they can end up in 5th place, that would be pretty miraculous. With 5 games to go, it's going to have to be a heck of a run. So, good game by the Bears last night. Let's hit the good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. there's your good. The Bears get it done last night against Portland State, 88-79. They scored 88 against Weber State, didn't they? I mean, they're putting up the numbers. If they can keep that scoring going, and again, Dalen Kuntz with 22 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Dalton Connect, 20 points, 7 rebounds. Matt Johnson, 16 points. But again, he takes a key charge late in the game. He's doing a lot of the little things that are allowing the Bears to put themselves in a position to win. So he was good. Caleb Shaw seems like he's kind of starting to get his feel back. You know, as his freshman season's been a little bit of up and down, and maybe it's trending back towards up. So I'll be excited to see Theo Hughes, man.
Rear high.
11 points, 5 boards, but just made some pretty key plays. Had an and one late in the game that really put the Bears in that position to win. So congratulations to Steve Smiley and the crew getting another nice dub in front of a decent crowd.
Yeah, student section was a little light to start off, but as the game went on, it filled up a little bit more.
And but there were more
Greeley
muggles
folks in there.
Out there.
Yes.
Yeah, there were more muggles surrounding the place. Good job for the Bears. Bad was the Nuggets game, losing to Orlando like that. I'm not hitting a panic button or anything like that. No, I'm not doing that, but that was a lousy game. Just lousy. I feel you, man, on the no game plan. It didn't look like they had much of a plan to slow down Orlando, who's 23-33. Yeesh. How about the Colorado Avalanche, too? I mean, they both played at 5 o'clock. It was both early games for these teams, but the Avs, they get bad news before with Cale Makar out, so that's unfortunate. But they get smoked by Tampa Bay in a rematch from last year. They lose 5-0 on that one. So, it was a rough night. It was a rough night overall, other than the Bears. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We got a lot to get to today. It is Super Bowl Friday. That's what it is. It's Super Bowl Friday. I got our final pick of the NFL season, and I heard your pick already. You're going with the Eagles. There's no secret, right? You're going with the Eagles. You're going with your guy. That's a good one. Why don't the Broncos have a theme song like that?
Welcome.
So dumb. Texter from John. From a diet perspective, the Nuggets definitely had a cheat day on defense. Yeah, that's pretty good. Felt like it. I mean, just silly stuff. Ball's going up. Nobody's putting a body on anybody. Orlando's zooming in and getting offensive rebounds. Left and right. They had 15 offensive boards last night. And a lot of those led to buckets. I don't have those stats in front of me. Dempsey will join us a little bit later on in the show. Our poll question of the day. I want to get your thoughts on this one. Are you happy with what the Nuggets accomplished yesterday at the trade deadline? A couple of options. Yes, no. I'm happy with the Thomas Bryant thing, but not the way the Bones Highland thing went down. And this is interesting. This is all stuff that we kind of thought was happening, that I really thought was happening. Mike Singer of the Denver Post put out an article last night about why it all went down and why maybe the Nuggets decided to take nothing virtually for Bones. I'll talk about that on the other side. 19 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. It's the whole show on a Super Bowl Friday. Don't go anywhere. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK, live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Will it work out? Here are our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies is a great sponsor of this show, and we love working with them. They work with the Rams. They work with the Eagles. They have a great partnership with them. If they trust them, to get their athletes up and running and going, then you guys should trust them, too. They have a 50-plus year-long relationship with Colorado State. So they're getting the work done there. Check them out online at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Poll question of the day. Are you happy with the are you happy with what the Nuggets accomplished yesterday? Getting a backup center, which was a need, but shipping off Bones Highland. I mean, Angel, it's starting to sound like that was more of an inevitable thing. I don't know that Malone and Bones Highland were seeing eye to eye. That Oklahoma City game where he ran, where he left the bench and went into the tunnel and away from the team, we all speculated, and it was always a finger injury. No, he left. He left because he was upset with his playing time. And that, according to an anonymous player, that rubbed players the wrong way. And an anonymous player told Mike Singer of the Denver Post that I'm not unhappy with him being traded. Is that Jamal Murray?
I don't think it matters who it is. I think my eyes were really open to it when you sent me that article yesterday. For a while, I've been kind of saying I don't want to believe that Bones is acting this way or that he's creating, you know, tension in the locker room. But after reading that article, I was, you know, okay, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And seeing the reaction from Nuggets fans, like, oh, I can't believe this happened. Like, yeah, he was in trade talks for like 2 weeks. Guys.
Well, here, you want to know what happened? You want to know what the problem was? He walked out on his team. And you know what that did to his trade value?
Dropped.
They tried to keep it quiet. The Nuggets tried to, that's why the whole finger injury thing was coming up. They tried to make it sound like that because they didn't want teams to look at him and go, oh, he's not a team player. I'll say this about Bones Highland. Seems like a great guy on the surface. He was really fun and Mile High City, baby, all that stuff. And I loved it. Who doesn't? But sometimes that quick, that when you have a rookie that's that magnetic, that inspirational, you wonder, is there something else there too? Because you don't hear a lot of rookies do what Bones Highland did. You don't hear a lot of them coming out with their own catchphrase and pumping up the crowd the way they do. Look at Christian Brown. Most rookies are like Christian Brown. They just kind of quietly go about their business until they arrive. And let's face it, Bones doesn't fit what Nikola Jokic is about. Pumping up the crowd and catchphrases and all of that. And nobody else really on that roster does that. I mean, DeAndre Jordan cheers him on the sidelines and stuff, but you don't get a lot of just crazy raw emotion all the time. You do from Jamal, but it's in that Kobe kind of sense where it's, I made a big shot. We're going to go try to win this game. Let's go. Bones had the ability to get himself up really, really high, but if things didn't go badly, it was hard for him to equal out. It was a roller coaster with him. And I think you saw that with his play. And it sounds like you saw that with his attitude as well with the Nuggets. And when Malone said he was on the horn with Calvin Booth pretty much off and on all day yesterday, you got to think that Malone's like, and I'm just speculating, but you got to think that Malone's like, do whatever. We'll do whatever. Because it's not going to work. He doesn't seem to be pulling in the right direction. And that was a statement, I think, that came out, too, was like about the Nuggets, was they need people that are going to be pulling in the right direction, and it just seems like Bones wasn't. You walked out on your team. Now, granted, Malone was out that game. He wasn't coaching in the game. That was COVID for him. And it was David Adelman, my goodness, I'll say Aleman from our fish program. It was David Adelman, so you wonder, would Malone have let that stand? What would have happened if Malone would have been the head coach of that game? Would Bones have left like that? And I guess the other, if you want to play devil's advocate on all of this, does this speak to Coach Malone's inability to coach up Bones Highland? Because he was coaching him hard. It just turns out maybe Bones couldn't take it, and that wasn't the way to coach him? Is it a Bol Bol situation where Bol Bol left? He even came back and said, yeah, I wish I would have worked harder when I was in Denver. Is that going to be the same situation for Bones next year? Is he going to look back and say, yeah, I wish I wouldn't have reacted those ways when my playing minutes was going down?
It's possible. He's still such a young player, and getting that limelight that he got as a rookie because of Jamal and MPJ being out, the focus was mainly on Jokic, but Bones created that spark for himself and created that, you know, oh, this is a guy that can come off the bench and give you an instant impact. And I think we as fans kind of got blinded by that. I was seeing comments yesterday during the game like, oh, wish we would have had Bones right now. I'm like, why? So he can jack up a three from midcourt and miss? or turn the ball over
a
couple times.
He would have forced it.
I love Bones more than anybody.
Yeah.
He was my guy. But I can look at it objectively and say he was not helping this team in the ways that you think he was.
Because the highs you can't game plan for. You can't. It's like football. You can't game plan.
It's great
plan.
When you hit a couple threes in a row and you're leading by 15. That's awesome.
Right, right. You can't game plan for a kick return for a touchdown. You can't game plan for a punt return that's going to rock the stadium. That's not part of the plan. Oh, well, in the second quarter, we're going to make sure we just return the punt for a touchdown. Bones Highland is like a punt return for a touchdown. It's very special when it happens. It's really awesome. It's going to get the crowd going, and we're all into it. But you can't plan it. You don't coach. Yes, special teams coach is trying to figure out ways to block and scheme, but you don't count on it. There's a very small percentage that you're going to do that. Bones Highland was that guy. Well, which Bones are we getting tonight? How do we game plan this one going forward? He said Chris Brady. Maybe Nuggets called it a legal load management. Haven't noticed? Then he just goes into Jalen. Haven't noticed when the players say what school they're from. What does Jalen call out? You know this, Angel.
Channel View High School in Houston,
Texas. He doesn't say either college?
No.
Oh, man.
But I think if you asked him, he would say the right answer.
He would say Alabama?
Yeah. He wears Alabama t-shirts all the time, so.
We had this long debate. We had this debate earlier. 31 minutes after the hour, we got Jerry Schimmel coming up next. The voice of the UNC Bears and the Colorado Rockies. They're getting ready for spring training. How's Jerry feeling about the Rocks? Let's talk to Jerry next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Jalen Coons found the opening down the lane. Little runner up there. Good foul. Count the baskets. What a play. Switching hands in the air and laying it in. Jalen Coons. Look at the deal. Comes off that pick by Dalton. Connect. Slices down the lane. Layup up there. Good. What a play by Jalen Coons. Able to finish that one with the left hand. Jalen Coons deep on the right. Well above the three-point arc. Looking for a pick. Gets that from Riley Abercrombie. Comes off, drives the corner, beats his man down the lane. Scooper up there and in. He's going to hold up. Back to Coons for three in the corner. Bullseye! What a great sequence for the Bears. Jalen Coons deep on the right side. Jalen fakes a drive in from the right. Comes off the screen, driving the paint now. Cut off, leans, takes a jumper, banks it. Good, he got the roll. Shot clock at five. Spins. He goes up, ducks under, lays it up and in. What a play by Jalen Coons. Coons front court. Jalen driving off to the right. Jalen down the lane. Beat everybody. Laid it up and in. Coast to coast for Jalen Coons.
Jerry Schimmel on the call last night as the Bears win 88-79 over Portland State. And I don't think he's on the line right now, so I'm going to embarrass him. I think Jerry, just the way he calls a game on radio, there's a lot of times I'll listen to radio broadcasts and I'm listening and I really don't know what's going on. You know, I know the score when they say it, but I'm like, what's happening here? Jerry just describes everything so perfectly. Oh, he is on the line. Jerry Schimmel, how are you, man?
Thanks for the compliments, my friend.
Nobody better than you, man. Whether you're calling a Bears game or a Rockies game, you really paint that picture, and you just have this steady cadence that's just perfect for radio. So well done by you. Obviously, we love having your voice on KFKA and on these Bears games, especially, Jerry, when the Bears get a win.
Yeah, that was fun last night, wasn't it? That was, you know, obviously a great, great win on Monday, Brady, when the Bob Weaver was really impressed last night. And I think just the way they won it as well, you know, wire to wire, they never relinquished that lead. They got up by 11 twice, I think, in the last 5 minutes. And Portland State came back and cut to three both times. But that's as far as they got. And the Bears responded. They did the stuff they needed to do on the offense and defensive end to stave off that rally against a really talented Portland State team. So, yeah, last night was a lot of fun. That was, for me, as much fun as it was on a Monday against Weaver.
Jerry, what was the crowd like there? I mean, I know the student section was crazy on Monday, but what did the crowd look like? Did you get a feel that some of that momentum was carrying over from Monday?
I did. You know, Monday was crazy because the student section overflowing in that one end zone, it made all the difference in the world. There's no getting around that. But some of that came back last night, Brady. I think there was a lot more and certainly louder in that student section than I had seen it all year long, other than on Monday. So some of that crazy student environment kind of played off to last night, and they showed up. And then the rest of the crowd was big. I mean, that was one of the bigger crowds they've had all year. It was a great game, so they were into it. So, no, I think it's a great point. The crowd was obviously awesome on Monday and really good last night as well.
Well, it's nice when you can get a decent crowd, start to take some of that momentum, and then deliver another victory in front of that crowd. So that's so important. Big stars last night. It seems like Dalen's really rocking and rolling. Matt Johnson, though, 16 points for him, but there was a key charge late in that game, Jerry, that really kind of put the Bears over that hump where it's like, okay, it's foul time. Now, the Bears should be able to free throw their way out of this one.
No question about it. And Matt took that charge. And you know, he was on the bench for a lot of second half because of foul trouble. So he had a great game production-wise in limited minutes for him anyway. So that made it even more impressive. What was interesting is, you know, Matt's one of the best free throw shooters in the country. In the country. He's almost 90%. He missed three in a row last night, which is really interesting. But like Brady, you pointed out, he did other things to make up for that, including taking that charge and hitting some key shots and playing some great low post defense. They were trying to post him up all night with Cameron Parker and some other guys, and Matt was there for the challenge. So Dalen was outstanding. Matt Johnson was right behind him.
Yeah, I was in your call too. You'd mentioned he's like he only missed like three free throws all year, Jerry. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then he missed three last night.
Yeah, I think he had missed four all season. I think he was 48 out of 52 or something like that. And then he missed three in a row last night. And it was really funny. After the game, probably we were done, and I was off the air and walking out of the building. He was still talking to his mom. And the last thing, they're walking away from each other. His mom's a character, by the way. Much different personality than Matt. She's very outgoing. She's a basketball official and really funny. But they're kind of separating. She goes, work on your free throws.
Well, and you know he took that to heart. I would imagine he was in the gym either that night or early this morning popping up free throws.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was. It was funny. He walked away, didn't say anything, but he had a little smirk on his face.
How about Theo Hughes, Jerry? Nice game from him. I tell you, it's kind of like which big man, I should say, is going to bring it, Theo Hughes or Brock Wisney. And Brock Wisney, I thought, played really well on Monday. And Theo, with 11 points, 5 boards, a key, and one there in a critical stretch. So just big-time players making plays late in the game.
Yep, no question about it. He got a lot of help from his friends, Brady. I mean, all five of those field goals were layups, and he was fed beautifully. One like he was posting up. I think one of them was an offensive rebound and a putback, but the other four were just great passes. He was wide open, just had to lay it in. But he still laid it in, and he got fouled with the one play. And then what does he do? He makes the free throw as well. There's a guy that was 1-for-5 last year, all last year, from the line. And he is, I think, 16 for 19, something like that this year. So much improved free throw shooter, much improved player. And he just had that solid game. That's what you're looking for with Theo. Play some defense. Try to stay out of foul trouble, which he's had trouble doing, he and Brock Wisney both. But play some defense. Get those rebounds. When you get that easy feed inside, lay that ball in.
Jerry Schemmel joining us, the voice of the UNC Bears and the Colorado Rockies. The Bears moved up a little bit in the standings, but Jerry, it's still going to be a long haul for this team. A lot of things are going to have to go their way, not just winning games. They're going to need some help along the way. If they want to move up into that fifth spot, right? The fifth spot would get them a first-round bye in the Big Sky Conference tournament.
Yep, that's what you're shooting for right now. And if that doesn't happen, Brady, and I think the odds are a little against that happening, I still honestly would not want to play the Bears in the first round. I really wouldn't. This is a dangerous team. I mean, you think about Monday night. Weber State had been playing as well as anybody in the conference aside from Eastern Washington. And what do? They get beat by 34 points. It's a team that's really good, playing some of its best basketball of the year. They come in and get blown out by UNC. And then the Bears come back the next night, no hangover, which is last night, and get that great victory against a very talented Portland State team. So it's starting to click a little bit, and I would not want to play the Bears. I mean, that's a talented team that when they get rolling, they get confident, and the shots are falling. They're really difficult to beat.
Yeah, it really does. And again, their game against Eastern Washington, 83-75, I mean, so they were there. But it does feel like if you can get that that style of play, the way we saw specifically Monday against Weber State, that game told me, okay, the Bears could beat anybody in this conference, but they have to have their stars clicking. They have to pick it up on the defensive side, but it could happen.
Yeah, no question about it. And what needs to happen, too, I think, is with the big three, you got to hit some help. And that's what they did on Monday with Riley Abercrombie. He got hot and it seven threes, but you've got to get some help. And last night it came from Theo Hughes and some other guys. So you know that Coons and Johnson and Belton Connector, they're going to get their points on most nights. You got to get them some help. You can't rely on those three every night. So if you can get a Riley Abercrombie to go off a little bit, or if you get Theo to have that big game, you're really dangerous. You're dangerous already with those big three, but you're really dangerous when somebody or a couple of guys can step up and help them.
They'll go up against Sac State coming up this on Saturday. We'll hear your call again, so I'm very much looking forward to that. Jerry, you're in this interesting time in your season, though, where you're in that crossover mode. You're very much in deep with the hoop side, but spring training is right around the corner for the Colorado Rockies.
It's that great time of year for me, Brady, when the seasons overlap and I can do two different sports at one time. Yeah, the first game is a week from tomorrow.
Wow.
First broadcast. So, yeah, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So it's right around the corner.
So how you feeling with this team? And I know with the Rockies lately. And Dick Monfort, poor guy, I mean, he can't help himself. He says some things that are always going to be picked apart by idiots like me all the time, Jerry. But how are you feeling about this team? You know, Dick Monfort's put it out there, yeah, I think we could play 500 ball. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's wrong about that. I think things have to click for this team to be a 500 team. There are pieces there, Brady, as you know. There's a good second baseman. Brendan Rodgers is kind of an emerging guy, and C.J. Cron has been very productive offensively at first base, and Chris Bryant, when he's healthy, will be a key factor offensively. No doubt about that. They've got some talent in the starting rotation. They've got a great closer. They've got some young guys that are up and coming, like Tolia and Tovar. So it's there. Those pieces are there. But that doesn't, in baseball especially, it doesn't mean much when it doesn't come together and you don't stay healthy. So I think Dick is right. If I was the owner, I probably wouldn't come out and say, hey, we want to play 500 ball. I mean, that's not going to get anybody excited. And everybody's going to pick on Lack like you have, and you probably should. He probably deserves that. And Dick means right. I mean, he has the right intention, but stuff comes out of his mouth that he, I'm sure he regrets and people take advantage of. But I think he's right. I think if this team comes together, they can be a 500 team, but a lot of things have to click that way. And I think the biggest piece is young guys developing, and you'll see some guys come out of spring training. They're going to make the team that never have played Major League Baseball before, which adds some excitement. You need to think about the future a little bit when you see guys like that. But a lot of things have to come together, but there's certainly that opportunity for this team.
Jerry, what are you thinking of Chris Bryant right now? I mean, is he feeling good? Like, what are you hearing, at least on that side of things?
Yeah, what I'm hearing is he's 100%.
Great.
No issues whatsoever with his back. And I heard the other day someone said, I think one of the guys that he'd been working out with or somebody had watched him work out or something said he looked great. He was not complaining about any pain in his back. He was 100% and incredibly excited about getting the season started.
You know what? I always get excited as we get into it. And then you just hope they can hang on throughout midsummer to give us something to root for. And maybe that'll be the case here. Jerry, what do you got going? I know, again, you're also the host of Amazing Americans. I absolutely love that show. It's unlike anything else that's out there. What do you have? I heard you talking a little bit with Brian and Tanner about that, but should be a really compelling program coming up this weekend.
I think it is, not because of me, but because of the guest. It's a guy named Jason Kuhn, and Jason was a great college baseball player. In fact, as a junior, he was one of the top closers in America, throwing upper 90s, left-handed, playing for Middle Tennessee State. And he came out of senior year and got the yips, Brady. He couldn't throw strikes, and it would not work. And he finally quit. He quit the game, and instead of sulking and being in self-pity, he decided he was going to do something even greater than that. He became a Navy SEAL. And
wow.
Had served our country for 8 years as a Navy SEAL, and I have incredible respect for Navy SEALs. I've had several of them on the show over the years, but he was employed at two different employments overseas and saw a lot of the fighting as a Navy SEAL and has some incredible stories, most of which he can't share. but then he spent 8 years in the military, comes out of the military, and now is helping pitchers who have the yips themselves work out of that. Remember Tyler Matzik pitched for the Rockies a few years ago? He got the same thing. He couldn't throw strikes and eventually quit the game. He was out of the league, out of the game, I think, for 2 or 3 years, tried on with his other couple of teams. He started working with Jason Kuhn and came back with the Braves 2 years ago and helped them win a World Series. Jason turned him around. So not only did he use his story to become a Navy SEAL and serve our country, but he's using his experience now to help other pitchers who have gone through the same thing, including Tyler Matzik. It's a great story. He's incredibly articulate. He's funny. I think something that everybody will really appreciate, especially baseball fans.
Oh, I'm really curious about that one. I mean, I've always thought about that. How do you get guys out of that? How does it happen? Does something click? Is it mental exercises? Do they need to see a therapist? Like, all those things go into my brain.
Yep.
So I'm very much looking forward to it. And that's why I love that show, Jerry, because, yeah, most of the time they're sports figures, but it's what they do. You know, maybe they rose up from something negative that happened, or beyond their sports life, they are able to create a different life and a more of a positive life to come back and help others. That's why it's such a fascinating program.
I appreciate that, Brady. It's been such a blessing to me. We're going on 4 years now doing this show, and it just keeps growing. And what's interesting about it is, I think anyway, what's interesting to me is the most popular shows, it seemed like, are the people I interview that nobody's ever heard of. But people can relate to that. They're not in the spotlight. They're not Scott Hamilton or Mike Ruzioni, which have been on the show, but they're not those guys. They're ordinary people doing extraordinary things, and the common person can kind of relate to that a little bit. So get some people that people have heard about and some other people have never heard about on that show, which I think makes it really interesting.
From the Bears coverage to the Rockies coverage to Amazing Americans and just being Jerry Schimmel, man, we appreciate you and so much about what you bring to the table each and every day. Jerry, this weekend, man, good luck on the call. Don't be terrible. You know the rules. Just be good.
I'll see what I can do, Brady. I appreciate that.
All right, my man. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Bears, the Rockies, and Amazing Americans. Jerry Schimmel, dude, that's one of the good ones. Great dude. 11:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. I'll wrap up the show. Wow, we got a long way to go, man. I'll wrap up the first hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I got Lemons Heating and Cooling as one of our amazing sponsors here. Jerry Lemons. I've talked about Jerry. The other Jerry, not Jerry Schimmel, Jerry Lemons. Played flag football with that guy. And he's just one of those guys. I mean, he grinds. He's just a hard worker, does whatever you need to get the job done. And I was in the trenches, in the flag football trenches with Jerry. He is awesome, and I love that company, Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check him out. Ask him about... You know what? Just say the phrase, knock it down. He'll know what that means. Check him out. Call him, 970-567-0798. Air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning. Or look at their website, lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You ready for Super Bowl Sunday? You ready for the big game, Angel?
The big one.
The big one. Chiefs, Eagles.
The Super Bowl. It's just the big game.
Well, we can call it the Super Bowl, and I'll explain why. Because we carry the game through Westwood One. We are a Westwood One partner, so we're able to promote the game and say Super Bowl. Stations that you hear that say the big game and are like, we can't say it, it's because they're not contracted with someone in radio or TV that's carrying the game. So we kind of get to do whatever we want.
Learn that in school.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Fun facts.
And what are they going to do? Like, do they go around and sue people if you're on, like... Let's say you jump on a show or something, or you're doing a UNC Bears video with their news team, and you say Super Bowl. Are they suing the school because of that? Like, think about that.
They might.
It's
a big game.
It's a big game. Big game coming up. The last game. Last NFL game already. Here we go. Chiefs, Eagles. I have a side poll question up on my Twitter account, @WholeShow. Who you got, Chiefs or Eagles? you guys are trending toward the Eagles here. That's what it's looking like, for my followers anyway. All right, second hour coming up next. Dempsey in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.